Hey, Lex Coach Mike here, LexCoachMike.com. Man, this was a really awesome podcast. This is a portion of our podcast with Coach Andrew McKinn, entering his seventh season as the head coach of Robert Morris, but he had been an assistant there before, 13 seasons altogether. I try and keep these timeless, as you know, but this is 2018. Obviously, they had an incredible run in the NCAA tournament. I mean, just a great team at Robert Morris, D1. He's been Northeast Conference Coach of the Year a couple of times, including last year. Man, they had a great season. Might surprise you that they actually have had 20 alums drafted into the NLL. It's a great program. The interesting thing about this coach is he's from Pittsburgh, you know, and I don't know that I've ever interviewed another head coach from Pittsburgh or a non-quote-unquote traditional area. Anyway, in this podcast, he talks about how they reinforce the pace, you know, that they have at Robert Morris, pushing the ball. A lot of coaches say that, man, and we all try and do it in our practices, but I think you're going to find this next segment really, really, really interesting. Without further ado, here he is, Coach Andrew McKinn from Robert Morris, talking about a unique aspect they add not only to rides and clears, yes, but every transition drill.
Yeah, do you keep the clock on for your drills?
We do. Yeah, the clock's on all throughout practice, and we run. I mean, a lot of our drills will manufacture some short shot clocks as well. That's one of the ways we emphasize. I mean, we break down kind of the different areas where you can get a number advantage. And we'll simulate some drills to kind of, you know, more so go along with each one of those areas. So, you know, we'll break down that number. I mean, essentially our breakdown of where number advantages come from are rides, clears, ground balls, quick whistles, subbing, and what am I forgetting? Forgetting one. But we'll take each area, and I believe I left out face-offs, but we'll take each one of those areas, and a lot of times we'll just manufacture shot clocks within drills, where, for instance, if we're throwing out multiple ground balls, as soon as the possession's won and you're in the offensive end, it's an immediate 15-second shot clock. You know, and we'll do that with, you know, each one of those areas. When we'll run clearing drills, same exact thing. I mean, the time's on the clock, and then we'll also have somebody working the shot clock that, you know, the second you step over midfield, that 15-second shot clock goes on. And we'll do it with face-offs as well. I mean, we'll run kind of a rapid full-field face-off setup where, you know, it's just one face-off after the next where we're subbing guys in very quickly. But, you know, it's literally just take the draw, 15-second shot clock's on as soon as the possession's won, whatever happens with the way that that plays out, line up for a new face-off right away. And, I mean, we'll typically get, I mean, normally at least three face-offs, you know, going 15 seconds apiece per minute because we have such little downtime in between the reps. So over a, you know, 7 or 8 minute period, you know, we're looking at repping out, you know, 20 to 25, you know, face-offs with a 15-second shot clock on. You know, so the clock for us and having that visible and also using that shot clock element is a huge part of the way that we go through our drills. And, again, that's just one of those things that, you know, we feel creates some urgency where it takes the thinking out of the equation and makes it more like a game day.
Coach, I just developed a man crush on you. man, I love that. I'm kind of trained under Berkman, you know, so, you know, our practices are, you know, 200 touches in the first hour, another 100 after that, trying to do the same thing. Man, I've been interviewing coaches a long time, right, and coaching clinics and doing coaching clinics and attending coaching clinics. I have not heard the 15-second shot clock in a transition drill over the midfield line. Where'd you get that idea?
We just wanted, especially when we were working rides and clears, it kind of started with that where, you know, we were always trying to, I think a lot of people try to incorporate riding and clearing into drills, which we've always liked, but at the same time, like when we run 6v6, since we do it, you know, very seldom, you know, relatively speaking, we kind of isolate that. We're like, hey, we just want to run 6v6. We're not going to hit riding and clearing in this segment. And then when we would isolate riding and clearing, we just, you know, again, trying to look at things from an efficiency standpoint, we were like, what's the best way we can kind of push our philosophy with going to the cage right away, with being aggressive, and also get as many reps as we can with, you know, trying to keep things under, you know, 8 or 9 minutes a drill. So that was kind of one of the ways we came up with it and just said, hey, this kind of kills two birds with one stone where we're getting multiple reps. It eliminates downtime. Then we're also just creating that urgency and aggressive mindset to push the cage.
Coach, I am absolutely in love and enamored with this idea because, you know, we get so many emails from coaches, you know, especially high school coaches or rec coaches or even club coaches. you know, just really struggling with how to keep energy in their clearing drills, you know, or their riding drills. And I had one guy tell me, like a 30-year veteran, I think he played in North Carolina or something, in an email, saying, hey, man, why is it that whenever I'm a high school coach and I work on clears, it automatically starts to rain? Yeah, and it's like metaphor was, you're like yelling down the field, the kid's attention span is like, you know, minuscule, and it's just hard, 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 you know, to keep a high school kid's attention, especially if you're putting in a second ride or a second clear, or, you know, your roster is stretched, so, you know, you got an eighth grader filling in on the ride or something at the high school level. I just think that's an incredible way to put energy and passion back in rides and clears, man. That's a great idea.
Yeah, and we've
just
found
too. You should have a shot clock
for
how long it takes. You should have 15 seconds for him to get it over the midfield line or something.
Yeah, I mean, we typically, I mean, with us, I mean, we push the ball out so quickly that it's, you know, very rarely an issue that we're not getting it over the midfield quickly. But that's a whole other element we could add, where it's 15 seconds to get over and then 15 seconds to create from there. But we'll run that as a competition as well, where it's like if you just successfully clear and you don't get a shot off, or if you get a shot off and you don't score, it's just 1 point. And then, you know, if you score on it, it's 2. And if you score off the ride, it's 2. And we just go right back and forth, you know, again, competitively, where we can get, you know, a ton of reps in a short period of time. And, you know, again, kind of hit a bunch of different aspects that we're trying to get out of it with fast play and, you know, efficiency in between reps. And, again, just creating that urgent mindset at all times.
So, Coach, let me ask you a question. When you configure the teams for this, are you structuring this ones against ones, or is the whole team just totally mixed up?
We'll typically mix up the whole team. I mean, especially depending on the time of the year. I mean, in the fall, you know, we very rarely really isolate kind of who we expect to be starters at that point.
Right.
So it's really a mixed bag. And, you know, at times we'll even, you know, that could be split, where with us, I mean, we typically carry 40 to 45. So we'll even take half the team and put them on, you know, put them off to the side where they're hitting shooting or hitting some footwork with the D guys, or, you know, again, anytime we realize there's too many people standing around, we eliminate that. So we'll even split that into two groups and, you know, have half the team running against each other, and then they swap and, you know, hit drills on the side. But, yeah, it's typically we want all, especially in those full field encompassing drills before we get into the, you know, the scouting reports and into the actual thick of the season, we're you know, kind of ignoring the depth chart, so to speak, at that point in time.
So, Coach, when you come out of the stretch and you're going to get the pace of practice up in a transition drill with a 15-second shot clock, I'm hearing that a lot of times that first drill out of the gates is a full field. Do you do that, or are you running 3v2s, 4v3s?
Yeah, a lot of times
smaller fields,
or
do you mix it up?
We mix it up. I mean, we'll typically either, I mean, when we finish our stretch and we hit our stick work, I mean, we're either going to split them into position work to start out and, you know, more so hit some positional stuff.
Capped all this in the article section for your review. Again, this is Lax Coach Mike, laxcoachmike.com. Man, I'm just humbled by your support of my site, man, and can't thank you enough for all you've done for us. Until next time, God bless everybody.